Next up, we have Dr. Derkin coming from INRA to talk to us about how enzymes might be incorporated into models of SOM decomposition.
Excuse me, sorry.
Thank you for introduction. Yeah, so today I'm going to show you using a conceptual modeling approach how depolymerization of organic matter is a bottleneck for carbon cycling. So as you all know here, enzymes play an indisputable role in carbon cycling as they catalyze the breakdown of large compounds into small compounds which can further be assimilated by the microbes. But till now, enzyme action is still poorly reported in models of carbon dynamics. There have been recently a few models that incorporate enzyme properties and decomposer traits, such as the catalytic properties of the enzyme, the mortality and growth rate of the microbes, and the carbon use efficiency. But till now, these models do not reproduce the progressive depolymerization of organic substrate upon enzyme action before they can eventually be uptaken by the microbes. So to try to challenge this issue, we developed a new conceptual model. I will briefly describe you the model, and then I will show you some simulations. So in our model, the organic matter is split according to its composition into different biochemical classes, like the lipids, the proteins, the carbohydrates. And in each biochemical classes, we report that the substrate carbon exists as a continuum of many different forms with different degrees of polymerization. So here on this axis, this is for a high degree of polymerization. Here, that represents a low degree of polymerization. Then, for each biochemical class, we identify a domain called DU, domain of uptake, where the substrate exists as monomers or small oligomers, and it is available for microbial uptake. And finally, for each biochemical class, we also define a domain DN in purple here, where the enzymes are active on the substrate. In these two classes, the enzymes, they have access to the whole substrate. But for some reason here, in this biochemical class, part of the substrate is not accessible to enzymes. It could be, for example, occluded in aggregates. Now, let's see how it works. We have here, initially, a substrate that is highly polymerized and is not available for microbial uptake. What happened over time? It becomes progressively depolymerized, so you can see the shift in the distribution of degree of polymerization. It becomes eventually accessible for microbial uptake. Now, in our model, we use two parameters to describe this depolymerization. There is one parameter accounting for the catalytic rate of the enzyme, and one parameter describing the type of cleaving of the enzyme. This simulation here is typical of an exocleaving enzyme. That means that the enzyme cut the polymers at the extremities. This generates a lot of small fragments, but the vast majority of the carbon, as you can see here, is still present as a large fragment. Lower value of the alpha parameters account for endocleaving activity, means that the enzyme can cut the polymer anywhere on the polymer. And this generates a variety of fragments with intermediate degree of polymerization, as you can see here. At the end, you can notice here that the endocleaving activity transforms more rapidly the initial substrate into small fragments which are available for microbial uptake. So the alpha equal 1 is here, and the alpha equal 5 for exocleaving. You have much more substrate in this domain in red here. So once the substrate becomes available for microbes, it is uptaken with a specific uptake rate. Part of it is respired, part of it is assimilated with a specific carbon use efficiency rate factor. And the assimilated carbon becomes biotransformed into microbial metabolites, which have their own biochemical signature. Then, upon microbe death, these microbial metabolites return to the substrate pool according to a specific mortality rate. Now, I will show you three case studies illustrating how enzymatic depolymerization is a bottleneck for carbon cycling. The first case studies will show you how lignolytic activity regulates the activity of cellulolytic enzyme during wood decomposition. We have here a substrate that is made of lignocellulose, 30% lignin, in here 70% cellulose. The green domain here is the domain where the cellulase is active on the cellulose. As you can see, it is strictly restricted to the domain where cellulose is free from lignin. But initially, of course, the cellulose is embedded in lignin, what is the yellow domain here. So the first mandatory step is that the peroxidase alters the lignin here, and then that will allow the cellulose to gain access to the cellulase, to gain access to the cellulose. So I have a short movie that will show you how it happened over time. So over time, you see that the cellulose becomes progressively available to the cellulase here. This is in green on this graph. And the cellulase depolymerization is depolymerized and enter this domain where material uptake is possible. And you can see that the amount of cellulose in green here progressively decreases. And in red, you can see the amount of microbial biomass increasing and growing. The blue is for the CO2 emitted. At this date, almost all the cellulose disappeared. And you can see that the lignin becomes valuable for microbial uptake. So I'll stop the simulation here, if I can. I will now talk about another case studies. So we're still in a case of the degradation of a plant substrate, but now in the model we incorporate the microbial recycling. And I want you to show you here all of the microbial traits are important on the composition of the residual substrate. So we implemented the model here with two different decomposer functional groups. The first one is specialized in the degradation of the plant material. It produces plant sugar depolymerized and lignin oxidase. The second group is specialized in the degradation of microbial remains. So these produce lipid depolymerized, protease, and microbial sugar depolymerized. We assign different metabolic traits to these two communities so that the microbial decomposer are more competitive than the plant decomposer. They have a higher carbon use efficiency and they have a lower mortality rate. So now let's see how it works. Let's assume a pulse of plant substrate. Let's have a first scenario in which the depolymerized substrate only benefit to the enzyme producer. This means that the plant sugar and the lignin can only be uptaken by the plant decomposer, while the microbial lipid proteins and sugar can only be uptaken by the microbial decomposer. In the second scenario, the depolymerized substrate can be uptaken by any decomposer. There is, however, a preferential flux toward the enzyme producer that you may relate to any kind of spatial proximity. So now let's see the results. In the case of the first scenario, so where the depolymerized substrate only benefits to the enzyme producer, you can see that the plant degrader here, so the plain red curve, so the microbial, the plant degrader grow. They benefit from the degradation, the depolymerization of the cellulose. And then when cellulose and lignin is exhausted, the plant degrader starts dying. And they release microbial metabolites that you can see here, the lipids, the protein, and the sugars. And they are uptaken by the second microbial community, the microbial degrader, which grows and then dies. In the second scenario, where the depolymerized substrate can be uptaken by any decomposer, you can see that rapidly the community of microbial remain degrader grows quite fast and more than the plant degrader microbes. And so they outcompete them. As a result, the degradation of cellulose is lower than in the previous case. And actually, lignin is only fully decomposed. So what I want to illustrate here is that depending on the traits of the microbes and on the composition, you're going to have at the end of the simulation here no more residual substrate in here, lignin as a residual substrate. And to finish, I would like to show you how the type of cleaving, endo versus exo cleaving, has a strong impact on the stock and signature of organic matter at the steady state. So, if we consider a system that is continuously supplied with plant input, fresh plant input, and that is continuously recycled by microbes, then it's possible with our model, thanks to the specific formalism, to compute the carbon stocks and the chemical composition. So with the parameter we choose here, and with this plant input, with this signature for the plant input, and this signature for the microbes, we were able to compute that at the steady state, we have this amount of carbon, so 1.16 gram, and that it has a mean residence time of about 300 days in the system. Then we got also the signature of the steady state carbon stocks, and you can see that it is dominated by plant residue, about 60% of lignin plus plant sugar. If we increase the value of the alpha parameters to account for a shift from endo cleaving to exo cleaving, then you can notice that the increase of carbon at the steady state increased, and that its mean residence time in the system also increased. This is due to the fact, as I showed you previously, that the exo cleaving enzymes are slower to release small compounds that are available from microbial state. And as a result, at the steady state, there will be here more highly polymerized plant substrate left. So, to conclude my talk, I would like to underline here that this new model compared to previous model based on microbe activity and enzyme activity, it reproduces the change in organic matter characteristic over time. First, the change in organic matter polymerization degree upon enzyme action, and also the change in carbon biochemistry upon microbial metabolism. The simulation I've shown you revealed that the enzyme functional diversity and joint action regulate the progressive depolymerization of organic matter and its turnover, mean residence time in the soil or in its system. And I've also shown you that the presence of cheaters, of microbial cheaters, affect the chemical composition of the residual substrate. So now, what is next? The simulation I've shown you, the parameters chosen for this simulation are based on data we found in the literature. But what we need now are experiments. We really jointly measure the change in substrate chemistry that quantify the enzyme, quantify the CO2 production, the microbial biomass, and then we could try to really test our model with real data. So we are currently conducting such kind of experiment in our group, but of course, if someone here in the audience already has such data, it would be quite interesting to discuss with her or him. And I thank you for your attention.